Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. I wish we were clapping for the Memphis Tigers, talking about a Sweet 16 appearance, because the path to that Sweet 16 certainly seemed as wide open as an open field, John. And yet the Tigers, unable to take care of the business they needed to get to that open field, losing to Florida Atlantic in dramatic fashion. We have to go through it. We have to talk about the refs. We have to talk about Kendrick Davis's turnover. We're going to have to talk about a seemingly emotional sort of meltdown there among teammates with Kendrick and Malco, and how that may have played into things. It's certainly reminiscent of a scene I saw some years ago back in Columbus, back in 2012, when the Tigers were playing St. Louis. We'll get all into that, what it means, certainly. A look back, obviously, at this season. Success or no? We'll ask John Martin that question, certainly, and now the offseason begins. Obviously, Penny Hardaway got to replace some heavy hitters, certainly right there at the top, and Kendrick Davis, DeAndre Williams, among others. We'll get into that. Memphis Grizzlies in action tonight. Listen, what a weekend for them. That helped a little bit, didn't it? Seeing the Grizzlies even the season series with Golden State over the weekend, seeing them rally from a 29-point deficit against the Spurs a day earlier. Grizz, all of a sudden, are hot. And, don't look now, John Morant's coming back this week. Eligible today, but they're going to be ramping him up, obviously. Hope to see him later in the week. John, that's a lot of what I've got, but I feel like I've gone on too long. We've missed you so much. We're just to hear your sweet voice again, I just want to get out of the way.
There's always some good if you look hard enough, right? There's always some good. But it was bad. It was bad this weekend.
It hurts.
It was painful. It was really painful. And I said this on Twitter, but it is truly how I felt. Like, I felt like I was a boxer that was controlling the fight for 9, 10, 11 rounds. And all I had to do was get to a decision. You know, all I had to do was not get knocked down, right? Just not get stung. And I got stung. I got stung there at the horn. And somehow, some way, it felt like a fever dream. I'm going to be honest. Like, I know
people. Do you have those often?
Not often. Not often. But it felt like I was watching, like, I don't know.
It was out of body. Because I knew what was about to happen with 5 seconds left, didn't you?
Oh, I
felt, after the way things had gone there.
I had a sinking feeling. I had a sinking feeling.
So I was like, watch this, Chris. Watch this.
But it's like, you know, you're cruising, you're cruising, you're cruising. You know, you're controlling the game. And then, next thing you know, Kendrick's hurt again. And now Kendrick's and Malcolm Dandridge are barking at each other. And now Malcolm Dandridge is pushing Kendrick Davis. And now Memphis's lead is evaporating. And now Florida Atlantic has a chance to win the game with 5 seconds left. And it was uncanny how quickly it all fell apart for Memphis. It was just breakneck speed. Didn't even have time to comprehend it. Didn't even have time to process it.
For a team that had played so well together and had taken, especially the guy that turned it over, such good care of the ball for the most part all season long.
Like all the things that had defined the season.
Correct.
Correct. We'll get to that here momentarily. Brevin Knight's going to join us at around 11:30. We'll talk to him about the Memphis Grizzlies as they are back in action. As you mentioned, no John Morant, but he is certainly making his return. So we'll talk to him about all of that in the run here at the end of the season with Brevin Knight at 11:30. Then Jason Fitz is going to join us at 1:25. Do some respect burgers at 1 o'clock. That's the show.
Your team's changed.
since team has changed. Your NFL team, so has mine.
Yep.
Since we've
lots of changes. We're going through lots of changes here on the show. Had half of mine to request a mental health day today. Definitely needed it. As you guys know,
you had enough time.
Anything, any chance we get not to work, we always like to take advantage of that here on the show. And we will
like how Brad dinged that quickly.
We will continue to do that, coming up. But we're here today. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, right? I make no promises about tomorrow. But that, to me, sort of is the beauty and the cruelty of the NCAA tournament. You can have moments like we saw with Fairleigh Dickinson pulling it off against Purdue, which is amazing, which opened it up for Memphis.
Wide.
Right? But I think the PTSD and the trauma of being a Memphis fan, when that happened, you knew that Memphis was not, in fact, going to get there because it was too easy at that point. The path was too easy. I had a buddy. I can't even make it up. He's a huge Memphis fan. He saw Purdue lose, and he texted me immediately. He said, I'm putting $2,000 on Florida Atlantic to win this game tonight, money line. Because, there's a sinking feeling.
What are you adding on with that?
I mean, there's a sinking feeling that when, like, it's...
I had a buddy, Tigers fan, drove up to Columbus, gets there an hour before the game. What does he find out?
Yeah.
Purdue is losing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he thinks he's there. He's made the drive to Columbus with his wife, by the way. Sacrificed everything else. Makes this drive up there, gets up there an hour beforehand. Feeling like he's going to be there for a historic weekend, John. And then even late there, feeling that way too. So he was on the other side of it. And I'm sure it betted heavily on the Tigers as well as going up there and spending whatever he had to on tickets.
Yeah.
Ooh. There are people that you talk about a miserable drive home.
Yeah, no, that's
and he's a good friend of mine.
Painful. Very painful. Yeah. It's not so much of like at this point everybody knows what happened, right? At this point everybody knows what happened in the game. They know that Memphis gave up the layup. It was almost like Moses parted the Red Sea, how wide open that lane was.
Boyd.
I mean, like the one thing that, you know, Penny told him in the huddle, and he called time out to reinforce it. It's like, let's not give up the middle. So, of course, Memphis proceeds to immediately give up the middle because that's just the way apparently these things must go. And then Elijah McCadden doesn't get a shot off, and away we go. All weekend long, I was just listening to don't cancel me here. Morgan Wallen, however you say it. I was just listening to sad country music, man. I really was. I was just sad. You go around town, sad. Because it's like, even though it was the first round, you know, I think the opportunity cost that was lost when you factor it in, you know, you're playing a 16 to go to a Sweet 16. You go to a Sweet 16, you're playing a Tennessee team without Zakai Ziegler. Now, they're playing good basketball, and who knows what would happen. Good chance Memphis be favored. Good chance to be a pick 'em, right? So then you're one game away from the Elite Eight. When you're in the Elite Eight, you're one game away from the Final Four. Mm. Like, I think it's the way the game ended, but it's also what you didn't get a chance to cash in on. It feels like you left a lot of money on the table with this tournament, and that's different than other tournament runs. You didn't feel like that last year. In fact, you felt like last year you left it all out there. You went all in. You pushed all in. You were up 10 on Gonzaga. That's what Gonzaga does. It did at TCU last night. Drew Timmy came back like Bill Walton again. Started doing it in TCU.
Yep.
You didn't come away from that game feeling like, man, you didn't feel like you didn't fulfill something, right? You felt pretty, I think, satisfied with the run there. This one is different because – you feel like you should still be playing today. You would still be playing today. There's, like, no doubt about it. I mean, Fairleigh Dickinson battled against Florida Atlantic, but how many times did we see Florida Atlantic break that game open? I mean, they could have won that game by 20 if they were locked in for 40 minutes. So I think that's what complicates all of it, Jason, is that, like, on if we're having this existential discussion, and I think it's the right discussion to have because, again, there's no real reason to – relitigate what happened in the game. It's over. It's done. It's 3 days ago. The question is success, disappointment. I won't say failure. I'm not going to call it a failure because I don't think it's that. I don't think it's a failure because you won the AAC championship game, you beat a number one team for the first time in program history, and you did make the tournament. But I do wonder sort of the how much does the way that the game was lost, how much does it taint the view of the season? And I think that's a real question.
Well, it has to because, like you said, I think that's what made it so or much tougher to take was – you know, you see the meltdown between Malco and Kendrick Davis. You saw Alex Lomax say afterwards, admit afterwards, that we weren't all on the same page there at the end of the game. We haven't even discussed the timeout that should have been, the ref's play call. And you're right, we could go back and forth on that, but right. at this point, what's the point? We all know what happened. And so back to that point, these were the kind of mistakes you hadn't made all year long. Yeah. This was as together a team as we've seen under Penny Hardaway, right? Yeah. All the way up until these last moments. And so to see it sort of unravel like that, to see it melt down like it did, and wonder if Kendrick Davis is not in his right head, because number one, too, John, he's mad at the officials that, you know, that on that play, you know, a play he's been called for a flop on this season, he turns his ankle, right? He's feeling a certain kind of way. He's emotional about that happening again. Then you've got whatever he pointed out to Malcolm as he came out of that, you know, off that bench, they're coming towards him, and that caused Malcolm to push him. You wonder how much of his head he was still had when he makes that pass there at the end of the game. We're all saying, man, he could have just held on to the ball. I know he had said he'd worried about, you know, the call and getting the ball across court. But back to the point, were they in their right heads at a time where you'd seen this team come through in the end time and time again?
Right.
And so it was losing. This wasn't something that was characteristic of this team this year.
Yep.
No, it went the opposite way. And again, you add on to what was in front of you if you just could have gotten through. And it does, it changes. There's no question, John. It changes how you sum up this season.
Yep.
You have to. Because here's the other thing. Kendrick Davis was a one-off.
Yep.
This was you wanted to cash in
yep.
on the 1 year you were getting from Kendrick Davis, an All-American season. Second most points, I think, behind DeJuan we've ever seen in a Tigers uniform for a season.
It was supposed to fall. That was a record that was supposed to fall.
You're in an 8-9 game against a team you should beat. I mean, that's that in the end, with a Kendrick Davis, with a DeAndre Williams last year,
yep.
you play it right in the second half and play him with four fouls. He comes through, John.
I mean,
he's there at the end. He's getting tip-ins.
Yep.
And so it's what was lost, the opportunity, right here, right now.
Yep.
Because you start looking forward to next year. You know, this was the thing about last year and getting that second round. What just getting the second round? You could look forward to the next year and say, you know what? You're going to build on this.
Yep.
You expect Penny to continue to build,
yeah.
but what you know, too, is you're losing some key cogs here that made this season. It
yep.
gave it a potential and a chance to be special, and especially, John, when you add in what happened with the rest of the you know, the region.
You lost a lottery pick last year in Jalen Duren, but Penny has never had a problem replacing talent with talent. What you're losing this year is your heart and your soul. And honestly, players that we really haven't seen Penny coach without. I mean, DeAndre Williams and Alex Lomax have been, it feels like, mainstays. And they have been mainstays. I mean, this is his third season, DeAndre Williams. I mean, Alex Lomax has been here basically since the beginning. You know, so we've never seen Penny have to replace those guys. We've seen him have to replace, you know, Jalen Duren. We've seen him have to replace Persatua, you know, he's done that. I think, and I have no doubt. And he's bringing in, you know, Mikey Williams, and we'll see what happens in the portal. But I do think that, like, the concern now and the question now is, in this day and age, right, of college athletics, and you know how quickly and how wholesale teams can change. What's it going to look like next year when, like, who's left? DeAndre's gone. Alex is gone.
Elijah's
DeMaria. Gone. DeMaria's gone. You know, I guess Jaden is back.
Mm-hmm.
KO, we lost KO. Nobody even talks about that.
Did you just say we lost KO?
He's gone, dude. He's gone. So we lost KO. He's out. Unclear on Malcolm Dandridge. I mean, that's a horrifying scene there at the end with him and Kendrick Davis.
Yeah, I'll say it reminded me of Will Barton, Chris Crawford, 2012.
Yeah.
Same place.
Yeah.
Columbus.
Really,
meltdown against St. Louis.
I don't know what it is,
late.
Man. I don't know what it is about Columbus that brings it out. You know, so D'Angelo will see. Kendrick Queno is gone. So, like, who is staying back that, you know, I guess Keontae? Keontae staying back? But, again, he just got here, too.
I think what we've learned about Penny with roster building over these first five, I'm not as concerned about how he's going to replace it. And we know he's going to put guys in those spots, right? To go, and
100%.
Because he's not going out there all young with Michael Williams leading the way and a bunch of freshmen. With what he's already learned.
Yeah.
So I'm not as concerned. Those guys will be there and will say, man, this kid was good at his last school. And Penny looks like he knows what he's doing. He's found the formula he wants in terms of experience, writing down, all that. But it's the opportunity lost this year.
No doubt.
Right now.
No doubt.
Right now. Because, again, you had these guys playing right. Think about where we were last week. You're coming off that AAC tournament championship.
Everything felt good.
It had fallen right. You were playing some of your best basketball. And, John, it was right here to be had.
Yeah.
Kendrick Davis just got a hold on the ball. Referees give you a timeout call. We're talking about something completely different today, how you cashed in. Yep. You maximized a chance at a special season. It's that close. And it comes unraveled off a turnover. Refs don't give you a call, right. And then a bad defensive play at the end of the game. All of that work comes unraveled. So Penny's going to replace the bodies and put something together that looks like, oh, okay, well, they could be relevant again. It's going to be, though, always looking back. Kendrick, much like, dude, when I was at Will Barton's locker after that St. Louis game, he knew it immediately. He knew, man, I've blown an opportunity here. Mm-hmm. Chris Crawford knew the same thing. Kendrick Davis feeling that. Right now, I guarantee he's going to regret that for the rest of his life. Penny will think about those moments for the rest of his life because that opportunity was there to be playing Tennessee this week in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And so it's that as opposed to, and we'll look forward. Penny will make news in terms of who he gets in the transfer portal.
He'll get talent.
And because he's been so successful there, we've said.
Yeah.
Like, he can be at the forefront when it comes to NIL. I'm not as concerned about what's coming as I am about, man.
Yeah.
This was the one that think about all the credit you gain, John, just all the, you know, just in terms of you make a Sweet 16 appearance this year for Penny Hardaway and the momentum you've got at that point. Think of all the equity that you've built at that point. It was right there for the taking, and you don't get it. In the end, yes, you don't call the season a failure, but it absolutely ended in disappointment.
It did.
I mean, this is a disappointing finish to could have been a special season.
Well, because unfortunately what happens is what becomes the defining image of the season, and it's Kendrick and Malcolm.
So that you didn't maximize, yeah. Yeah, your guys came unraveled, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And again, that was so uncharacteristic of them.
I think that's what hurts probably more than most of all of it, is that Penny and this team had done such a great job of avoiding...
In these areas.
Yeah, like something that sort of defined Memphis teams in the past was like there was always drama. There was always going to be some moment where, you know, last year Jalen Duren was on the fence about coming back and playing. Amani Bates had, you know, his whole thing, right? Like there was always some, you know, the veterans don't want to help the young guy succeed type moments. You know, you always had that, except this year. You know, maybe there was some drama, but it never got made public, and I don't think they lost two games in a row. So they were incredibly, you know, it was a close-knit group, had leaders, had veterans, didn't turn the ball over, fixed that problem. That had been another thing that plagued Penny teams. And yet in these big moments, and I think that is, again, the beauty and the simultaneous cruelty of March, is that you can have these out-of-body experiences to the good or
everything.
To the bad.
Right.
You know, you can have a Fairleigh Dickinson team that is the worst team maybe ever in the field go out and win against a one seed. And you could have Memphis, who had done a great job of keeping everything together all season long, just totally come undone in the final 3 minutes there. I think that was probably Kendrick Davis not having that tournament experience, right? Like, he gets there and you know, we don't know what was said.
I don't know what he said to Malcolm initially.
Yeah.
Hopping on one leg.
Yep.
You know, if it was... hey, let's go, or if it was more critical.
Right.
But what was clear, and they showed it in the replay later, was that when he turned around, Malcolm pushed him. That escalated everything. And so you could see it then. It was going back and forth, and Haith is trying to you know, help break it up. But clearly, again, reminiscent of Barton and Chris Crawford years ago, you just wonder, at that point, is everybody on the same page?
Well,
Alex Lomax even said afterwards they were not.
Well, I mean, again,
so
I think that was
evidenced by the fact
decision-making?
That
Elijah McCann bites on the three-point shot.
After everybody's told you we're guarding the middle, give up the three. Back to that point, are we on the...
Clearly not.
After what you said, you just called timeout to tell him again.
Yes. And that's, by the way, unfortunately for Elijah, was the second game winner he's given up in the last, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks.
I know, he was playing when they were down, dude was playing hard.
He got down double digits
in the first half.
Yep, he did play hard.
So, but yeah, you're right. It absolutely was a bonehead defensive play.
It's like you just
gave him the lane of the basket.
If they make a three, God bless them at that point, right? They're down one. I'd rather him shoot a three than
mentally, he'd been burned by the one given up in the same spot at the end of the shot clock by the same guy.
Oh, it's true.
And that was part of, heck, you know, you question even if that play should have happened because it felt like a shot clock violation.
Yeah. I hate it. I hate it because I think, you know, going into this tournament, we would have said this season is a super success. They won the AAC tournament. They knocked off the number one AP team. For the first time
in program history.
You know, Kendrick Davis is...
That's why you can't call a season a failure.
Now, that's way too strong. But inevitably, like...
You didn't cash in enough.
It's the same thing with Purdue. And you know, Purdue is saying the same things we're saying today.
Well, it should be worse for them.
Oh, it is. Because
that's a double-digit seed like three times lost to.
They have a pattern. Exactly. So, but I mean, they won the Big Ten regular season. They won the Big Ten Conference tournament. But they don't. That doesn't matter today. That doesn't comfort them today. So, yeah, I just think overall that taste in your mouth is going to be what happened at the end of this Florida Atlanta game, and the awareness that you should be in Madison Square Garden playing Tennessee for practically all the marbles, right?
With a good chance to advance because they got no Zakai. You got to tip your cap to them the way they've played.
Yeah,
the way they pulled it together. They got physical on
Duke
defense.
Team. Yeah. Yeah. But I think that was a winnable game for Memphis.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know what the number would have been. I don't know how. I think it'd probably be pretty close. Like, Tennessee's -5.5, -5 now over Florida Atlantic. I think that would be much closer to 2 or 3. Memphis maybe as a very, very short underdog. But as we know, those two teams get together, anything can happen. So
I think all of that bundled up and not getting the call for the timeout when clearly everybody, that's why you saw Penny throw that bottle because it was opportunity lost. He understood that it was right there for the taking.
That didn't hit anybody, right? That didn't clunk somebody in the head?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, I mean, I just didn't see the trajectory. I knew the water bottle did, in fact, leave.
I didn't know if he had thrown it at an official or who he had thrown it at or just out of disgust, just kind of tossed it behind.
Yeah, I was just, my whole thing was like,
but I felt him. I felt where it was coming from because, again, you're right. You're at the doorstep, bro.
That's a real, you know, that's a heavy, that's a Gatorade bottle. I mean, that can leave a knot.
That's not like a battery. So aren't they kind of padded? I know you've never had one. You've never held one because you've never been an athlete.
They are. Yeah, they're padded. But still, so I mean, you don't want to be somebody that's like, and then you just get knocked unconscious.
Throwing a Gatorade bottle. They should have got the timeout call. Yeah. Ref screwed them on that one. However, you turned the ball over right there. That's what I keep going, in the end, you kind of have to keep going back to
that. On that point,
you just hold on to the ball and get fouled right there. You're winning that game. We're having such a different conversation about.
Well, and Kendrick's, and again, this is like that experience. Kendrick's defense was, I was worried about a 10-second call. I would rather you take the 10-second call and take the 10 seconds off the clock than you make a Hail Mary pass to Alo.
You had a timeout right there.
That's just the lack of experience in these moments. I love that dude.
I don't think it's as much like he just played well in the AAC tournament. I know it's different, but it's a tournament setting, whatever else. I don't know if it's that much as that is. That dude wasn't in his right head at the end of that game because of everything he's going through with the injury.
Yep.
Read about it. The refs, he feels like they've had it after him all year long on these feet below his shot. And instead of looking for a foul call there on the defender, they're wanting to call a flop on him. Like, what was that, Cincinnati? What game that was? I remember it stood out. So, you know, then he has the thing with Malcolm. Malcolm pushes him, so he feels like it's, you know, and you just wonder, was he in his usual smooth right mind at the end of that game? You know, clearly he was not. And you're not getting another. You'll replace guys, and Penny will put together a team that's probably relevant next year, but you're not getting another Kendrick Davis.
You're not.
That dude's special.
He is.
There's no question.
And
you said it too. DeAndre's heart, soul, and even Alo in some sense in terms of what he does defensively. I could change some games. And he's been, you know, kind of that guy you lean on a lot.
Yeah, your stabilizer.
Since what, fifth, sixth grade for Penny.
Right. So that's going to be an adjustment for Penny.
It will be.
But he may do like Kentucky did with Ulis and just keep him on the bench. Right. He'll find a way to keep him around somehow.
But you're not putting. You're not giving the keys to a
You can't.
Freshman
you can't.
And saying go lead us in terms of a guy that's going to have the ball. He's learned too much through these 5 years.
Well, that's just not the way you win in college basketball.
It won't
now.
Be Kendrick Davis, but hopefully it will be someone that can help them continue to be this team that, for the most part, took care of the ball, great chemistry all year long. And that's the thing you have to tell yourself. You keep giving yourself chances to get there, you're going to break through. John, you're right. I mean, if you compare this to Purdue's situation,
that's like a real
existential crisis.
They're giving
themselves best chance every year,
right.
And they continue to fail at that point. Much different place here. Is it a step back from last year? Yeah, probably so. This is why you brought Kendrick here.
Yeah, you did not win a game in the tournament. So it is a step back. I mean, yeah, you won the AAC championship game against Houston, but
there are no patterns yet. There are no patterns like Purdue.
Yeah, I just don't think it's time to ask like those fundamental infrastructure questions yet. I mean, they still went. They unfortunately caught a bad break with the non-timeout. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Best player made a bad decision.
Yeah.
And a guy you'd come to rely on, role player, makes a bad defensive play.
But next year, I think, is massive, I mean, you got to find a way to continue to make the tournament, be a contender in your league, I mean, that's got to happen. That's got to happen in this new look league. So
you got to get out of the 8-9, too.
Yep. That's part of the growth as well. And that's not going to be easy. Because, you're going to have to play a hellacious non-conference schedule to do that in this new league. But, I don't know, it was a depressing weekend. I was just on that, 865-409-1021. That's
what
I kept listening to. That's my Morgan Wallen. That's just what I kept listening to, man, this bottle. I was like that old man at the bar, just like head hung down. Just leave me alone. Leave me alone in isolation. Ridiculous.
I think there are a lot of us like that.
Yeah. We will rebuild, but it will take some time. Maybe the Grizzlies can help us do that. We'll talk to Brevin Knight about that, Ja's return, and more when we get back. Jason and John, 90 Turner FM, ESPN.
This March, protect yourself against upsets with Bracket Parlay Insurance on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, all customers can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay of three legs or more falls one leg short. With a parlay, you can turn a small bet into a slam dunk or a nice little tank of gas if you're like me. And with cash out, you're calling the shots. You can close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over all March long. Just sign in to your FanDuel Sportsbook account or go to FanDuel.com/JSmith. And you can sign up today. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JSmith. FanDuel makes it super easy and super fun. Make every moment more with FanDuel. They're America's number one sportsbook, as you know, an official sportsbook partner of 92.9 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus bet, $25 per day, unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789.
I'm Michael Jenkins, helping you beat the books with BetQL. With March Madness taking a break until Thursday, the BetQL model is focused in on the NBA and has found a current trend worth a closer look. Minnesota will be in New York to take on the Knicks, and the trend has been to go to the under between these two teams. In the last meetings between these guys in New York, the under is 7-1, and in the Knicks' last six games overall, the under is 5-1. Those two trends help make up today's BetQL 5-star best bet to take the under between New York and Minnesota.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today is Hoops for St. Jude Day. What does that mean for you? Well, you can head on over to Grizzlies.com/St. Jude, make donations, and be entered to win lots of cool stuff. Right now, from 11 to noon, that would be a Grizzly skate deck autographed by Dylan Brooks. Brevin Knight, we call Mr. Keep It Real here on the show. He's going to be busy tonight at halftime in addition to his normal duties. He joins us now. Brevin, what's good, man?
Man, nothing much, man. How y'all doing?
Oh, good.
Pretty good.
Doing the best we can, you know. Doing the best we can. So, you're coaching. You're not playing. Are your playing days of – are you retired? Can you officially break that news here on the show, Brevin?
Well, that can be officially broken time and time again in terms of news. I will never play basketball ever again for any reason.
It's funny that you say that, man, because – I don't know a lot of former pro basketball players, but the ones that I do know, like, you know, maybe the average civilian thinks, oh, they still play pickup. They still
stay in shape. Yeah, yeah.
But most I talk to about this, they don't, and you're going to be added to that list. Why are you so religiously against hooping anymore?
Physically, it's not advantageous for me to get out there anymore to do it. I'm in no shape to run around and play it anymore. And just – the desire to do it is gone. I tell everybody, it's like when you just go out there and play with your friends, and that's what y'all do. You have a regular job, and then maybe on the weekends y'all play, or you're in a league every now and then. That's just an every now and then thing. When it's your job that you have to do year round, and I've been playing basketball since I was 3 years old, it just got to a point where I was just done playing basketball. The joy of it was no longer there. To do it, and my new love of golf has taken over for that.
Brevin, it's always important to donate to St. Jude year-round, but there does seem to be quite a bit of extra incentive to do it today.
Oh, yeah, today is a fun day. It's going to be, like you said, we it's something that you should always, if you can, take time to donate, because St. Jude is such a lifesaver, and it's one in which helps those families to be able to deal with the pressures of going through a illness with their child, and it alleviates any of the costs for them. And so today we wanted to make sure we keep that in mind. But while we're doing it, since it is Hoops for St. Jude, we got a little game at halftime of tonight's game. And so it's going to be Team Brevin versus Team Elliott Perry, of course, the losing team. And what people can do, as you already said, you can go to Grizzlies.com and make sure when you do donate under the Team Brevin side, because we not only want to win the game, but we want to win in donations also. So it's just a fun way to just get people engaged more and to continue to show the support for St. Jude. But while doing it, just having a little bit of fun also.
Well, you got one of the best women hoopers ever come out of Memphis in Ashley Shields. Now, did you draft Ashley Shields, or did you fortunate enough to be assigned Ashley Shields to your team, Brev?
Ashley was my number one draft.
Stood.
It wasn't even a wait until later, think about it. That was when I sat down and looked at everyone that was available. That was who I wanted first, and I was happy that Elliott Perry went another way that allowed me to get Ashley, and she's gonna be my go to. She's gonna have to be the horse for our team. But I do have some things up under my sleeve for some others on the team.
We're certainly excited to see that. Hey, Brevin, on a note about the Grizzlies here, there's no manual, there's no script, there's no handbook on how you handle a situation like the one the Grizzlies are in. But when you think about, you know, the games since Ja Morant has left the team, they win five games, two against the Warriors, two against the Mavericks, including, of course, on Saturday in a dramatic fashion, just really taking it to them there at Golden State at home. What has enabled the Grizz to navigate this, honestly, as well as they have?
I think because they've been here before. Maybe not to this extent with having Steven be out, with having Brandon Clark now out for the season, and then have Ja out also. But they've been able to play with the next man up mentality now for a couple of seasons. And when you have good enough players that are able to go out and continue to play at a high level, and they do it together, it's been good. But I also think we just had some really good individual performances. I think Dylan has been fantastic at both ends of the floor. Yep. Jaren has – we've seen – started to see Jaren take that step in terms of being a go-to player for them. And I like his willingness to take shots. And he's mixing up his game. That's been fun. Tyus has just been the ultimate leader that you would be expected for him to be. And Desmond Bain, I started telling him, I started calling him Downhill Dez now with the way that he has been attacking the basket and playing. So I think they've had individual performances across the board. X has been good. I mean, we can go across. Roddy has come off the bench and shown. I think that's the individual performances combine that with the collective being around one another, playing the same way all year. That just allowed them to find a nice groove.
I do, and I feel like we almost ought to send a thank you note to Draymond Green in the sense that Dylan Brooks, you mentioned him right at the top, is almost, you know, refocused him, if anything else, with that podcast talk, because he's been locked in, like you said, for the most part, on both ends. You're seeing a different Dylan Brooks since those words came out, feels like to me. You agree?
I agree 100%. I think it's been the most engaged Dylan Brooks that we've seen for an extended period of time. Sometimes you would get a couple games, and then you get a couple games where it's like, oh, just a little bit, we lost concentration.
Yep.
We haven't had one of those, and within games, it's been the most efficient Dylan Brooks that we have seen in a long time. So I'm happy for him because I know he is just the ultimate in wanting to win and be the best that he could be. He doesn't really care what anybody thinks about it. It's what I love about him, and so I'm happy to kind of just see things turn for him in terms of both ends of the floor coming together.
How much do you enjoy the back and forth between Memphis and Golden State?
Oh, I love it. It's great for the game. I love it. And I love the fact that every day we wake up, there's another comment from them about us.
Yeah.
Like at some point in time, you would say, like, well, you guys got the four rings. We're just the only thing we're doing, we're just trying to be antagonizers. That's all. Can we get under your skin in any way, shape, or form? And I think Dylan has done a fantastic job of making sure, as he says, he has space out in San Francisco. He rents some real estate in San Francisco now.
Not to take anything away from Clay, but you know he made the sort of first comment about Jaren back when they won the finals. You know, on the podium, which was odd that he remembered that at that moment.
But
now that he's doing it while they're losing, right? He's looking over at Dylan on the bench in a blowout, and he's doing the 1-2-3-4 thing. Like, doesn't that look a little silly? Like, given the context, like you're talking about things that happened in the past. Full credit, while getting beat by 15 and on track to be a 6 or a 7 seed this year.
If you were in his shoes, what cards do you hold?
True.
You only hold championship cards. So that's why Dylan said they can continue to wave those cards. We're going to live in the moment for what's happening right now. Respect what they have done in the past. One of the greatest teams during that time that you can think of with the way it has many championships they went to and winning the four. We give them all the credit. But this is a different day. And so for this day and these teams, that's all they care about. That's all Dylan and this Grizzlies team is worried about. And so, again, that just lets you know that you're thinking about us. And that's the one thing that the Grizzlies want is they just want – and they want to know that in some way, shape, or form, it is working in their favor.
BK, what are you telling Ja Morant if you're a teammate of his as he gets set to reincorporate himself, no eligible tonight, probably expect him back later on in the week? Just in terms of you're one of his teammates, you've seen, you know what he's been through here, through the 8-game suspension, you know how much of it was clearly self-inflicted, all that. Just in terms of what you're telling him for this stretch run, what you need from him, and having that talk, what are you saying to Ja?
The first thing is welcome home, because it being back in the locker room, being around the guys is home for players during the season. And then from there, we've got your back. Like we're going to go out here and battle the same way we battled before this incident happened. We're going to fight together, and we're going to continue to play that way. The only thing that I would as them, I would say, is we just expect for you to be Ja Morant. That's all it is. You don't have to live up to any other expectation when you walk into this locker room with us other than just being Ja Morant. And so I think that'll be more than enough for him. And just the fact of being back and being able to be in a locker room, to be able to go on a road trip, to get on the plane, to do all of the norms, I think will be really huge for him.
We are, of course, talking to Brevin Knight, a.k.a. Mr. Keep It Real, here on the show. Man, speaking of which, I got to ask you, and maybe, you know, you don't want to speak on it, but, like, how is there not an opening at Stanford, man? Like, what are we doing? What has happened?
That is a question that I will pose to our AD as to where to, just to see where their heads are. But again, I tell them this is another year, and it's the seventh year in a row that I have not been able to fill out a bracket for the NCAA tournament because Stanford is not in it. And so that becomes an issue for me. And it doesn't. We are in a results oriented business. Mm-hmm. This is nothing about do I like you or not like you. At the end of the day, you got to win games, and we're not winning basketball games. We've done a good job at recruiting, they say, in terms of getting players, but we got to figure out a way to win basketball games. And I think for all of us, former Stanford players, and especially a lot of us that had a hand in getting the program to a respectable place, I think it's just a valid question to ask, where are we going from here?
Now, you know, a quote-unquote West Coast team hasn't won the NCAA tournament since 1997. Is there a chance that, you know, maybe UCLA or Gonzaga, and I don't know how much of them you have seen this year, but do you think either of them have the ingredients to break that streak? It's been a long time, BK.
It has been a long time, and I think Gonzaga with their age, UCLA lost. I think they lost a big defender though.
They did,
right before the tournament that could hurt them going down the road. This is why I say I think it's just is as open a year to win a national championship as it is as open a year to win an NBA championship. Whereas whoever gets hot at the right time, you can be the healthiest or your guys playing the best can win. And so between UCLA and Gonzaga, hitting their stride at the right time will put them in a position. But I think with how college basketball has gone to this point in the tournament, I think it's whoever's playing their best basketball will put themselves in the best position, and that can be come from any coast.
And then last thing I just had, Brevin, because you've played the position, you know what it takes to get the NBA, you know how hard it is to play in the NBA. A guy like Kendrick Davis is, you know, who obviously diminutive, but a guy who usually makes the right decisions, got a great mid-range game, reminds you a little bit of Chris Paul, but I'm certainly not comparing him as a player. But is there a place in the NBA, as tough as it is, for a guy like Kendrick Davis?
Is there a place? Yes. Is that place hard? Is it going to be hard? It's going to be hard. And I think that is almost going back to the days of size over substance. And unfortunately, that's still the way the game is navigated. And so I would hope that he would get a chance. He's going to have to show that he can be a full point guard. He can make plays for others. He can defend bigger players. And that'll give him a chance. We know that he can score, but the only thing I say about that is when you leave from college, when you're in college, you have a green light to shoot
no doubt.
When you want to shoot.
No doubt.
And so that gives you the opportunity to find a rhythm. When you're a young guy, you got to fit a role. And so is he going to be good enough to fit a role and then get your shots when you're able to get them? Or is there a team that believes he can score at that size? That has yet to be proven. Isaiah Thomas was fantastic at scoring, and he still couldn't get in the league. And it was all just because of his size. And so, unfortunately, the size will matter. He's going to have to do all of the little things great, but there's no denying that he should be an NBA player.
Grizzlies.com/St. Jude. Donate, and you have a chance to win lots of very cool stuff. Hey, Brevin, man, appreciate the time,
you,
as
brother.
Always. Good stuff.
Man, good talking to you guys, man. Have a good one.
You
yes,
too.
Sir. He is Brevin Knight, a.k.a. Mr. Keep It Real. Catch him on Bally Sports Grizzlies broadcast. Going to be coaching that celebrity game at halftime.
Yeah, he's got Stenhouse on it, too.
He's got Stenhouse. Yeah. Yeah. So
you know about Ricky, right?
Of course. He won the Daytona. Yeah, he won Daytona. That's what I know, man.
Olive branches.
I tell you what, it was very impressive the way he just drove. I mean, my man was driving his ass off. I've never seen somebody drive so well in my life. Man was just turning, you know. My man hit the banks and everything. Great stuff.
Don't say another word.
Okay.
Say less.
Yeah, it's like, what do you use, like?
J&J on racing.
What was working for you out there, Ricky? Well, I was just going faster than everybody else. You know, I just had
to. Man, outlast, man. You got to get through wrecks and everything else, cautions and everything else.
Yeah. No,
it's tough.
Man. I can't even drive on a you know, on Forza or Need for Speed, so let alone the actual. How fast do they go on those in those cars?
Like 200.
200?
Right, about 200.
Woo! That's fast.
That's an educated guess.
That's fast.
Now does Stenhouse play ball? Can he play ball? You never seen him hoop?
Yeah.
It's going to matter.
Yeah, because
whether or not he can hoop without.
I don't think, you know, driving doesn't require athleticism. I think we can safely say that, right? You don't have to be an athlete to be a good NASCAR driver.
You're going to be sweating in there, and you got to, you know.
Give me an athlete. All you do is put your foot on the pedal.
I'm going to lean your way and say technically.
You can't say you're an athlete.
I know they're going to get a little angry with you.
Who is they?
The drivers. That's you say are not athletes. Because they're going to tell you how much they sweat in there and how they're locked in. And
bro, you sit down.
In a car that's going 200
for 17
hours in a row.
You are sitting on your fat ass.
Like the focus that it takes, an athlete's type level focus.
At
that's what they would
golf,
tell you.
You're like, there's power involved. There's torque involved.
Well, and you have to move. You have to walk.
Yeah.
You know?
If you're a NASCAR driver.
The wheels are doing the walking
for
you.
You're just sitting. You're sitting, dude. That's not athleticism. I'm sorry. Now, you could say mentally, can you be mentally tough? Sure. You got to be smart? Sure. Athletic? Nah, that's not a requirement.
It's not athletic. No, I'm with you.
Yeah, they're not.
I'm not going to sit up here and try to make an argument that a driver is an athlete.
They're just not. They're drivers.
They're drivers.
They're drivers.
No, me and you could get in there. Now, we'll lose, but we're going to drive just like they're driving.
Right. They're going to say, oh, man,
we're going to be scared.
You guys can't drive. You're not athletes.
But it doesn't, just because they're brave, right, and what they do doesn't make them athletes.
100%. And so, look, I think that's going to be the test. That's going to be the test tonight for Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and his team.
Well, Ashley Shields is going to lead that game in scoring.
Brevin is entering this game as a dog. He is an underdog in this game. He's got
Drummond Boy, Keyshawn, and Zach Myers, and Stenhouse Jr.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good team.
Yeah, and then the other team is NLE Choppa, Al Capone, Knight Pickering, Famous Amos, and Kristen Sparks.
Now, when we say Famous Amos, who is that?
It's the cookie dude, right?
Not the real one, is it?
No, it's the cookie dude.
Famous Amos cookies.
Yeah, that's the.
But it can't be real Famous Amos, can it?
It might be like his descendant.
Because that was an old brother.
Hmm?
That was an old black man.
It might be his grandson who kept the name alive.
Well, then it shouldn't just say Famous Amos like he's the one. You know, it should be like you called Billy Richmond the third Trey. It should be, there should be something signaling that he's not the original.
Mm-hmm. Famous Amos cookies were the goats.
Because if EP's got the original, the real Famous Amos by 80 out there, it's over.
Now tell me about Knight Pickering. What do you know about
Knight? Not much. Not much at all. What about Kristen Sparks?
That is that's not the American Idol singer, right?
It's not?
Is it? I mean, I don't know. Like
How many are there? How many Kristen Sparks are there?
Oh, that's Jordan Sparks I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Kristen Sparks?
Don't know.
Again, I see celebrity games and lists, and it really.
That's why I say it's easy. This is Brevin's win.
Right.
He's got the more star-studded group, even though NLE Choppa, we know, can hoop. Oh. A former Briarcrest.
Oh, Knight Pickering,
right?
He plays for Memphis on 1FC. Okay. That makes sense.
What about the girl?
Oh, Kristen Sparks?
Yeah, who's that? I'm seeing MD out of Anchorage.
She's the CFO of Memphis on 1FC. No, I don't know who. I'm sorry.
I'm seeing Anchorage psychiatrist. I don't know who Kristen Sparks is off the quick search.
It looks like
maybe she
plays for the Memphis Americans soccer team. So apparently we're going
Ashley
with
Shields gonna cross her over.
Heavy, heavy, heavy soccer influence here tonight.
We want to get 901FC involved.
I think we could just call this like a random assortment of Memphians game. As opposed to celebrities, but hey, you know, it ain't my branding.
It ain't my Brandon, man. You have a couple in there, though. Like NLE Choppa's a celebrity for sure. You know, Zach Myers is a celebrity. Stenhouse, I'd say, is a celebrity. So I think we have
I've gotten a picture of which famous Amos this is, but I've not been able to pull it up yet.
See, again,
he's been to a few Grizzlies games, though.
The issue, though, is if you don't know who the person is, that sort of does indeed go against the celebrity status, does it not? If are you the cookie guy? Are you like, because them cookies used to be soft. If you got a bag of famous Amos, it was a good day.
This is a different famous Amos, I'm pretty
well,
sure.
Well, then that's not, a, that is a
You guys told me it's the cookie man, different famous
this
Amos.
This is an incredible, what is this, like a comedian or something?
Yeah, like a comedian. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think you're right, comedian.
Okay.
From the north.
Thumbs down. Find the descendant of famous Amos and get him in this game. That's who we want. That's who the crowd wants, the fans. Do something for the fans. Anyway, Grizzlies.com.
John's still angry about that Tigers loss, y'all. You can hear it coming out of him right now.
Yeah. More just depressed than angry. It was just like shoulder slumped, you know. Just, ugh. But, hey, Grizzlies are 5-3 last eight. So, that's something.
1-5 of 6.
Tied with Sacramento again. Yep. Still got a run possibly there.
2 with Houston this week. And,
yeah.
Ja Morant's coming back. If you've heard.
Yeah, things are coming up pretty well for the Grizzos. So, anyway, good stuff. Grizzlies.com/St. Jude. We'll come back with the rundown. Stick around. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
It's Brad Carson here in studio with the guys for the Betly Sportsbook. It's my exclusive betting partner that I've been using for the last 4 months now. And I was looking at the Grizzlies game. It's actually up to 3.5 now. Grizzlies a 3.5-point favorite. It started at 2.5 this morning. So you can wager on the Grizzlies Mavericks right now on the Betley Sportsbook. Also, they have futures. They have the World Baseball Classic, which I have a U.S. bet there. And tonight it's Mexico trying to play in to take on the United States. They are a 2.5 run dog in the World Baseball Classic. So you can bet on the World Baseball Classic, college. And, of course, the 16, Memphis out of it, unfortunately. But you can wager on the Betley Sportsbook and all the college madness on all the games and all the wagers there, brackets and more. It's called Bracket Season is here, and it's on the Betley Sportsbook. Download the Betley Sportsbook. It's legal in Arkansas. It was the very first in the state of Arkansas. And it's now legal here in the state of Tennessee. It's got all the great tech. It's simple, easy, fast, convenient, and has all the stuff that all the other apps have, plus a $250 risk-free wager. Since you're a new user here in Tennessee, you're downloaded it in Tennessee, you get the $250 on the Betley app. So many ways to have fun. I use the promotions tab.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.